The 12th chapter of Romans. And the 17th verse. We have got, as people of God, we have got to get our mindsets in order. There are so many things that are going on in our lives and around our lives that have the ability to affect our lives. And it's important that we get our house in order. The reason that is so important, because the Word of God says judgment is going to start where? In the house of God. It's not going to start out there on the streets. It's going to start in the field. So it's important that we get our house in order first. If you don't get your house in order, you can't tell other folks or teach other folks how to get their house in order.
Amen.
Amen.
We are supposed to be a living, breathing, walking illustration of what God expects us to be and representing the kingdom of God in the earth. But this message this morning is called, look at your neighbor and say, vengeance.
Vengeance.
Displaced anger.
Displaced anger.
Displaced anger. There are things that we have been through, people that have touched our lives in negative ways.
Yes.
They influenced us in ways that we didn't want to be influenced. They bring something out of you that you've been trying to keep hidden. You've got to keep dormant. But that's their job. I used to tell folks, God gave me this message once when I was going through some things with some folks, and he said, they were assigned to you. I said, well, I'll assign them. He said, no, I can't unassign them because you haven't passed the test yet. And boy, it wasn't a test. There are people that have been in our lives that when you hear a name like theirs, it affects your spirit. Yeah. I don't know about you, but certain names stir me up.
Yeah.
Remind me of casualties and bleeding and suffering and things that have happened in my life. Just a name.
Yeah.
And God's been telling me, you gotta let go of that stuff. You can't hold on to it. It's going to sidetrack you. It's going to derail you. Here in Romans, the 12th chapter, the 17th verse, says, recompense to no man evil for evil. We dealt with that a few weeks ago. Recompense to no man evil for evil. We're going to keep it easy. You don't want to do back to folks what they do to you.
Amen.
It may seem like the right thing to do. They talk about you, you talk about them. They hurt you, you hurt them. They break your heart, you break their heart. You see, what we fail to realize is that just like the word of God is going to affect them, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It stands for us even double.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
Because we call him our Lord.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So that is the key for not recompensing or paying evil for evil. And it says, no man. Just like we've decided who we want to love and who we don't want to love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who we want to be friends with and who we don't want to be friends with. Who's our neighbor and who's not our neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have that choice. I was reading yesterday where it says, for you have been bought with a price.
Man.
We are no longer our own. But for some strange reason, we own up to ourselves. You know, when I would get mad when my mother passed away, I would go, this is my life. You can't tell me what to do in my life. I have a bunch of kids in here, don't you? You can't tell me what to do in my life. I'm 14 years old. She said, bring your 14-year-old butt in here.
Yeah.
When she got through, I forgot I was 14. But in the process of all that, we have to be careful about what we do and how we do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
you have to come to a place where you affect lives in a positive way.
That's right.
Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest, things which, the word honest means valuable, things which are valuable in the sight of all. In the sight of all men. Well, in the sight, it means in the face of God. Because you're trying to please God. You're not trying to please men.
Man.
So everything you do it for the kingdom of God. If you're trying to please a man, then you've already failed.
Right.
See, the good thing about pleasing God, you can please God and make a mistake and get back up and keep it
moving.
All
right.
If you try to please man and make a mistake, they're going to hold it against you.
Right.
And a lot of times, the way the flesh operates, when it feels like someone is holding something against them, they reach out and retaliate. We retaliate with our dispensation or with our attitude. You know, you can hurt a person more with your attitude than you can with your mind. So we don't want to repay evil for evil. We want to provide or show forth or consider an advance. I like this breakdown of in the Greek of what it says. It means to take thought. See, the flesh will cause you to act without thinking. I know y'all ain't never been there.
Amen.
Ain't nobody ever been there but me, Brother Gregory. That did stuff without thinking about it. And didn't realize that I should have thought about it before I did it. Because now it's got me in a bigger mess than I started out to be in.
Amen.
This is, I'm going to be honest, this is getting harder and harder and harder to do. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but if it be possible. You say, well, why do you say if it be possible? Because it's based on who you are and what you know your God to be in your life.
Right.
It's not possible to a lot of folks to be peaceful with men.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a friend. Oh, Lord. He comes here quite often. He loves God. But he can't be peaceful with no man. And you don't know whether to take him serious or not take him serious. We were with him yesterday and I just looked at him. I go, Lord, is he serving the same God I'm serving? Somebody go get in his tail. Excuse my French. If he keeps that attitude up. Provoking men to anger. You're supposed to provide things honest. Things which are valuable. Not in man's sight, but in the sight of God. Because if you please God, man will eventually get on board. Everybody not going to like you for who you what you stand for. They're not going to appreciate the God that's in your life. They're not going to appreciate your attitude of peace. They're not going to appreciate your mercy and your grace toward them. Some folks can't handle it. Yeah, you over there, Trinity. Baby gone in service. I'm just letting you know now. Do what they want to do.
Right.
Amen. But live peaceably. And the word live is so important because it means to abide with. Simple. I'm trying to keep this as simple as I possibly can without trying to go off on a deep end on you. It says, live peaceably. Here's what you say. The word of God says, Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. And when you see my Father, you see me. Why is that? Because I represent him in this earth. When you live peaceably with all men, Whether you like their looks, whether you like the way they talk, whether you like their character, whether they've been nice to you, they've been mean to you, when you live peaceably, that means that you abide in God and you're able to be around folks.
Come on, yes. Now.
Yes. All right.
Yes. Because you're representing the kingdom of God. For some strange reason, we forget who we represent.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why I said, if it be possible, if you can find it in yourself, please, I beseech you, live, abide, walk circumspectly and peaceably with everybody.
Man.
You just can't pick out who you want to be at peace with.
Right.
Perfect example was last week when I was telling you about the girl that was flipping me off on getting on the freeway. Did I live peace with her? No. That's probably why God gave me this message, just to me first, you second. He's reminding me that it's important that I live peaceably with all men. And when God talks about men, he's not talking about men in particular, because God has no respect of person. There's no gender in God.
Amen.
So it's just important for me and you to live peaceably with everybody.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
That means when they flip you off on the freeway, just keep it moving.
Right.
We were on our way here this morning, and I almost got hit by three different cars. You saw the one, didn't you? He just drifted right on over in my lane. Red was in the, we were both about to get on the freeway together. He just drifts right into my lane. Dale, where he going? I don't know. We coming down Evergreen, the lady, she is three lanes. She in the outside lane. She just starts drifting over. She cuts one lane. And then she's coming over in my lane at the same time that I'm right beside her. And then she had to look at me. I'm in my lane. Like I messed her up.
Yeah.
I was like, me and Danny laughed. Like, that was. This won't be one of them days. And before we got there, there was another guy with me on the freeway, Danny. Just, I don't know what he was doing. He just kind of just, oh, looking at his phone. If we hadn't been looking at our phones, we wouldn't be here this morning.
Yeah.
It says the word life means live or become a part of it. As much of it as a part of your life, live peacefully.
Yeah.
Please live peacefully. Then it goes on to say, dearly beloved, which we know are, is a special appetite for those that God really loves and dearly loves. Remember, this message is about vengeance, displaced anger. Trying to preach this message without telling you too much about myself. But it's getting hot. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. My brother just went through that. Because he a hothead. He ain't big as a minute, but he can scrap. He wanted to take care of the situation. I kept telling him, right, he can't do it. And God said, you listen, listen to yourself. Perfect example of avenge not yourself was Pastor Hart. When I first came to this church to work, how many years ago? Remember, Brother Andy? Almost close to 40, right? So I was in the television department, and Pastor Hart was going through a divorce. And she showed up every service to harass her. Every service. Without doubt, she showed up. Then she started bringing people with her. And they would sit in the audience. She would sit on the platform. Now, they're going through a divorce. And they would harass him a whole service. You know what he did? He preached the gospel. He prayed for the sick. Nice. He had souls come up for salvation. He never opened his mouth to complain about what he was going through. It taught me a valuable lesson.
Nice.
When you see people who have the ability not to avenge evil with evil, Because whether we want to realize it or not, that's what we are. We're flesh. Adam was all that. Yeah. And a bag of peanuts. And he got the whole world deceived. So God don't want us to avenge ourselves. Or to take a or do things. See, I like this word. It says to retaliate or to punish. But there was another key word that's out of the Italian, and it takes it deeper into the if you were new Roman language, it gets deeper because it says you don't need to vindicate yourself. I can't tell you the times I wanted to get up and vindicate myself behind this pulpit. Tell folks my side of the story. Tell folks why this is happening in the first place. But God said, don't you dare open your mouth to vindicate or defend yourself. I said, well, Lord, I ain't gonna make it. He said, you can do all things through me that strengthen you. Hold your peace, live peaceably. Maybe if you only knew. Amen. God said, avenge not yourself, but give place unto wrath. Now that was that kind of mixed me up a little bit. Because in talking about giving place, it means give room or make room. Make room for wrath. But then I found out, as I did a little bit more deeper study of it, that it was talking about you have made room so that the wrath that's in your life doesn't get out of your life.
Amen. Amen.
And wreak havoc not on other people, but on yourself.
Amen. Amen.
When you know to do good and do it not, the Bible says it's sin unto you. Do you know what it's like to do something and sit back and realize that you made a dreadful mistake? You said something you wish you hadn't said. You did something you wish you hadn't did. And now you sit back there trying to figure out how to fix it.
Yep.
Which if we had done what the first verse said, thought about it. If we can sit back and think about the situation we get in and what's going to happen from what we do.
Right.
Hmm. Amen.
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 For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So that means you to get someplace and sat yourself down. You may be a little bit stronger, a little bit more powerful and anointed than I am. So therefore, you might not have displaced anger concerning different people in your life that have affected your life.
Right.
I'm not going to lie to you. If I search deep enough, Brother O'John, I'll find some displaced anger. Because you know what? When your heart's been hurt, your spirit's been bruised, and you feel like you're bleeding out, it's hard to forget. Bible tells you to forget.
Amen.
I wish I could remember the person that told me this was going to be an easy walk. I'd make them pay for it. It ain't nothing like serving Jesus. It's going to be everything going to be all right. It is, but you don't think about the stuff Jesus said.
Yeah.
The things I do, you do also. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you.
Amen.
They don't say that part.
Right.
And you know what we miss? He said, the things that I do, you shall do also, and even
greater.
Guess what comes with greater?
Yeah, right.
Greater suffering. Greater persecution. Greater accusation. Greater hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Greater heartaches. You ever cried out, Lord, I'm the one that's trying to live right. And God never said a word. Left you standing. And then you say, made up in your own mind, I'm going to take care of this. I can handle this. Y'all know I keep it real with y'all. I can't tell you the times I sat back and decided I'm just going to go and just shoot them. You know, I'm just going to shoot them up and get it over with. But then I sat back and thought about the payoff of doing that.
Yeah.
What if I didn't kill him and now I spend the rest of my life in jail? That ain't gonna be no fun.
No.
You got more? You got water, mother? You okay? We better let God take care of this our situation.
Amen.
Now, this part took me some getting used to. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, an enemy in the Greek is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to you.
All right.
An opponent, an adversary, a foe. But the Word of God tells us, see why it's getting harder and harder to live by this word? Because we're finding ourselves, we have more and more enemies.
Unfortunately.
More and more persecuted.
Yes.
More and more accusers. More and more haters.
Yes.
And God tells us, feed him. You want to say, I'm going to feed him all right. I'm feeding this 11 and a half boot. And God will remind you in his word that if you feed him your boot, I'm going to feed you mine. He going to survive my boot. But I don't know if I can survive God's. So I think about it. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For so in doing, thou shalt do what? He coals a fire on his head. So if you feed your enemy, and see, in most cases, most scripture folks would say that it's talking about food and it's talking about water, but it's talking about your life.
Man.
When they are hungry, folks that, I don't know, folks that usually persecute you or have aught against you, find something in your life that they don't have, and they will persecute you and hate on you for that. That's why I tell everybody, if you got somebody hating on you and coming against you, don't take it personal.
Amen.
Because it's not against you, it's against the God that has manifested itself within you.
Amen.
That's if you know God and if you find it all possible.
Come on now.
I'm preaching to me. Talk to me. Feed him. And if he thirst, which he is, or she is, well, they are. They're thirsty. They're thirsty for what it is in your life that gives you the joy, the peace that you have in your life in spite of the circumstances that surround you.
Amen.
Had a guy ask me one day, how you do it, Rev? How you do what? You hear what they saying? I go, and? They were talking about church. What you gonna do if they nothing? He said, why? I said, because they ain't talking about me. He said, what do you mean they ain't talking about you? They said your name, they're not talking about me. Well, who they talking about? They're talking about my God.
Come on now.
You see, my God don't like to be talked about. Especially in a negative way.
That's right.
So I just let him be talking to my God because I'm going to let him handle it. And you know what he always does? He always handles it.
Yes, he does.
All right.
And he finds a way to do it before I get a chance to screw it up. Because he's not going to search the intents of my heart and find out that I better intervene in this real quick. You know, let me tell you something. God came into my life and he delivered me, but he didn't take out of me who I was.
All right.
Let me understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
What I was, I now have the power of God to bring under subjection to God.
Amen.
If I was a fighter, I'm still a fighter. I just know how to control it now.
Yeah.
Through the power of God and the word of God. I can keep it under wraps.
All right.
Amen. I got tickled one time, Pastor Ardis. I was going through. It got so bad. People were leaving the church and they were going out and dogging me. They were doing all kind of stuff. And I started feeling sorry for myself. And I kept saying, the person said, I don't deserve this. I've helped everybody. I've loved everybody. I did everything I could for everybody. Remember them big coat posters used to be up around the city? Have a coat. Y'all remember the sign?
Yeah.
Well, this particular time, I was so discouraged, so broken, so downtrodden. Before I got saved, I was cokehead. I saw that sign, but turn around, and I said, you know what? That will solve this problem today. I can go get me some coke. I can live better with a coke. And I was on my way. And before I got there, something said, you're about to make the biggest mistake in your life. And I heard God say, I've given you all power over the enemy. He said, at this time, you are your greatest enemy. Because you are yielding yourself to your feelings, to your emotions, to your disposition. Bring it under subjection. Turn your butt around. And go back to where I took you, and that's back to God.
Amen.
I turn around, and I never had that urge again. That don't mean that they still in me. I beat up on it through the power of God. I listen to the word of God. He that has an ear, let him do what?
Hear
what the Spirit has to say.
Amen.
Oh. So you think about it. And you heap coals of fire. When it talks about, it says fiery. The word fire is fire. You heap things. What you're actually doing, you know, coals do what? Coals supply fire. I remember when we was growing up, they used to come and things stick the chute down through the basement window and drop coal off, you know, to go in the furnace. Because without the coal, there was no fire. Some folks need a fire up under them. By you loving them when they hate you, praying for them when they spitefully use you, you turn things around. Do you know folks don't like you and don't hate you and don't even know if they hate you anymore?
Right.
They sit back trying to figure out, I don't know what it is about them. I just don't like them.
Yeah.
But you better keep it moving.
Yeah,
because God will fight your battle for you.
Yes, He will.
It says, be not overcome of evil. Or the word of means under evil. But overcome evil with what?
Good.
With what?
Good.
There's only one way you can overcome evil with good, and that's to live according to the word of God.
Amen.
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 It's the only way. If you don't do it God's way, you ain't gonna make it. It's funny. The word gives, or to furnish the drink, give the drink, means to not just fix their thirst, but it means to irrigate. How many know what irrigating is? How many people had a garden and had to irrigate that garden so that the whatever was the vegetables would grow correctly? Well, you irrigate somebody's life when you show them the love that they don't expect to get from you.
Come on now. Right. Come on now.
Amen.
You irrigate their lives when you have peace with men who don't have peace with you.
All right. Amen.
This word ain't playing. It requires something of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It requires that you bring your flesh under subjection to the power of God and let God have His way in your life.
Yes.
When it ever gets easy, you let me know. Because I want to follow you around for 72 hours and see what you're doing that I'm not doing. My wife recently came up to know the struggle, because I'm finding out that life in itself is a struggle, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens. The word strength in the Greek means enable. God is enabling me to run this race with patience. He's enabling me to love folks that hate me. He's enabling me to pray for folks that despitefully use me. He's enabling me to do them peaceably with men that, if I was me, I wouldn't give a darn about it. Because they ain't never done nothing nice for me. They've never been nice for me. But God said, I don't care. That's beside the point. It ain't about you. When it becomes about you, I'll let you know.
Amen. Amen.
And it ain't that time.
Amen.
And it probably never will be.
Amen.
You want to see how quick God can move? Hold your peace, sit down someplace, and let God move for you.
Yeah.
And that ain't just when it comes to people.
Yeah.
It comes when it's dealing with your personal life.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Earth.
Yeah.
Holy earth.
Hallelujah.
Remember, judgment going to start where?
Start
who? We so worried about what folks doing out there. You better start thinking about what's going on in here. You just can't come to church and be holy and then go out and speak and do what you want to do. You better represent out there too.
That's right. Amen.
If you talk about love in here, you better take it out there and do something with it. You know, we're so quick to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, let's see something.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Let's see what kind of strength lies in your joy.
Amen.
That was one pastor I was favorite says. Used to make me so mad. He'd do you bad or do something crazy and then go, but you got the victory, you got the joy. No, I don't have no victory. And I can't find no joy. Well, you're going to have to get it. You're going to do ministry.
That's what he said.
I remember them man's words, word for word, because they stung. The truth hurts.
Yes.
You know what I find out? You can live with a lie easier than you can the truth.
Yeah.
The Bible says something about that. A man will believe a lie before he believes the truth. Because the truth tries to set you, make you free. And in most cases, flesh don't want to be free. It wants to do its own thing all the time. A lie will give you the ability to keep living a lie.
Yeah.
Let God do it. You can't do it. I tried. I found out I couldn't get it done. Beat myself up. Trying to make myself whole. Somebody told me, preached the scripture, be holy even as God is holy. But I finally found out he was just saying, walk as upright and righteously as you can. You can't be holy. Only the God in you can be holy. But you can be righteous and upright.
Amen.
That's even in the midst of your mistakes, you can still be righteous and upright because you accept the mistakes you make. You accept responsibility for the things you do, the mistakes you make. And you know what God will do? He'll fight every one of your battles for you. That song we sing, run through a troop and leap over a wall. The only one way you can do that is in God.
Yeah.
It's supplying you with the strength to do the running and do the leaping.
Yeah.
You can't do it as long as you are caught up in trying to handle it yourself. Don't believe them old sayings. You take one step, God will take two. It ain't scriptural.
Amen.
Usually if you take the one and wait on God to take two, you already in the way. He can't fight for somebody that's always in the way. He can't handle your business if you're always trying to do it yourself. Sometimes I just throw my hands up. Lord, I'm done. I'm exhausted. I can't fight this battle no more. And God will say, see that seat over there? I want you to sit right there. And I don't want you to move till you see me move. And I've learned to sit till I see God move. But while I'm sitting, I'm busy praying, meditating, studying, talking to God. I'm just not sitting loafing, but I'm sitting ministering to God. Dominic, you want to preach?
Oh, no.
Everybody's saying
that.